We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this bonus episode of Lunchbox Envy, all about Easter eggs. We thought, because it is actually Easter weekend this weekend, it would be nice to do a little bit of chat about everyone's favorite chocolate event, which is, of course, Easter. So happy Easter to anyone who's celebrating, and happy very long bank holiday weekend in the UK to anyone who's not celebrating but reaping the rewards of this festival.
Tis the season for bank holidays, isn't it?
Yeah. We're in that real good bank holiday stretch now. Anyway, I'm just really curious to know, where did Easter eggs come from? Like, they aren't specifically related to Jesus, as far as I can tell.
That is true. That they are actually more symbolically linked to spring. It just so happens that Jesus died and was reborn in spring. Mm-hmm. But long before Jesus lived and died, I think we were all celebrating spring in Europe in particular, in the Northern Hemisphere around this time of year. Basically, the egg has been a symbol for new birth and fertility and growth and all things fecund for millennia. And then when Christians started, you know, conquering the world, it became a reason to break your fast, because the Lenten fast specifically bans nice things. And one of the nice things it bans is eggs. So that's why we have them. We use them up on Pancake Day, Shrove Tuesday, and we celebrate by eating them on Easter Sunday. And then they became a symbol of Easter and breaking your fast. And therefore, people would start painting them and decorating them in order to make more of a celebration out of it.
Right. Okay. And then somewhere along the line, they became chocolate.
Yeah. Well, I think chocolate's another decadent thing. It's a treat that you want to celebrate with, and presumably, therefore, would be something one might give up during Lent.
Yes, true. Okay. And so where did the Easter bunny come from? Is that another spring thing, do we think?
Yeah. I mean, apart from the fact that rabbits tend to reproduce a lot. Again, we're talking about birth and fecundity.
Fertility.
The bunny in particular comes from German folklore. The Osterhase was a hare who laid colourful eggs and then delivered them to children.
They didn't have a good grasp of biology then.
Absolutely not. The Germans have no idea.
to this day.
What's going on? I have no idea. That was my German accent. I'm not using that. Anyway, but German immigrants brought the story over to America in the 1700s. This idea of the Easter bunny stuck. Obviously, the eggs got chocolatey as well.
Yeah, and late-stage capitalism as well. I'm sure that has something to do with all of those eggs becoming chocolate.
It's another season to flog things, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, I'm led to believe, Manu, that you brought with you perhaps you're our little Easter bunny today.
Ooh, I will not be laying these myself, but I have bought for you a Kinder Surprise.
Wonderful.
Yay, I love these.
Oh, I miss these. I haven't had one in such a long time.
Treat yourself, girl.
No. Well, today I'm treating you guys.
Oh, thank you. And for those in America, do you just want to explain what a Kinder Surprise is?
Well, you guys are missing out. So if you haven't heard of or experienced the joy, that is a Kinder Surprise. They're a chocolate egg with a little gift on the inside. They were invented in 1974 by the Italian company Ferrero, as in Ferrero Rocher, and my personal crack, Nutella.
the Ferrero company buy like 30% of the world's hazelnuts just for Nutella.
It does not surprise me. And they are doing some beautiful stuff with it. Yeah. So Ferrero's idea riffed on the kind of older European tradition of Easter eggs that had hidden gifts inside of them. And they decided to make that available all year round. Yeah. Unfortunately, yes, it is banned in the US because of strict health and safety laws that make hiding unedible items in food illegal.
Yeah, it's a choking hazard. It's one of the weird places where America's stricter than the EU is on.
Also, I am like, how quickly are you eating? Because the Kinder
mine's
egg
already
is
gone.
Quite large to accidentally eat the gift inside of it, which is itself quite large, is an impressive feat. Anyway, well, if you hadn't swallowed the collectible in the Kinder egg, you could save it. Some of the toys inside were really, really valuable. Like, they became collector's items. So in the 1980s, there was a series of toys in the Magic Sports series, which had a load of weird colours and strange proportions because of manufacturing errors. And all of these mistakes made them extremely valuable. They were like, oh, that's kooky as.
Like Pokemon cards.
Yeah, exactly. And then in the kind of late 90s and early 2000s, Ferrari did a collaboration with Kinder, and they produced loads of
Ferrari Ferrero combo.
Yes, Ferrari Ferrero. So they produced lots of tiny replica race cars, and some of them had moving parts. And if you have managed to find one of these and it's unopened, keep it, because they are incredibly rare and valuable.
Where would you find a vintage Kinder egg? Surely they're all...
You know what? I reckon my dad, who just keeps all things,
would
probably have one.
He's a hoarder.
Even in a fridge? Has he got a special fridge full of like 30-year-old Kinder eggs?
He's not listening to this. Dad, I love you, but I reckon you probably do. He wouldn't let me open some of my McDonald's toys for specifically this reason.
Oh, really?
He was like, they're going to be collectibles.
From your Happy Meals?
Yeah.
What the hell? That was my favourite bit.
I know. So finally, there's the Golden Hippo. So this was produced in Germany in the 2000s, which is part of the Happy Hippo series. But there was a rare version that was plated in gold.
Oh, wow. So, actual gold. Mm-hmm. Cool.
What, there's like one of them. There was just one gold hippo somewhere out there.
I want to think there were a few, and when you gather them together, something magical happens.
I've got a golden hippo.
It's very Wonka. Yeah.
It is.
And then, Jack, you usually know the answer to this because you're a freak. How many Easter eggs is too many? What is the toxic amount of Easter eggs?
I ran the numbers just in case anyone was worried. You do have to eat quite a lot. I don't think anyone's going to be doing this. So sugar toxicity is what's going to kill you first. So it's 30 to 50 grams per kilo of body weight. So yeah, if you're an average size, that's like eating 4 to 7 kilos of milk chocolate, which is, I calculated at 250 grams per egg, about 20.
Right.
So if you ate 20 Easter eggs, you'd be in trouble.
You might die.
I think I could do that. I think I could do it. Yes, I could.
They're quite hollow, actually. If you smushed them down,
right,
and your stomach would revolt long before then, you'd vomit, basically.
Mm. Sure, yeah. Well, we might finish up with a few of our favourite Easter food traditions found. Mm. I'll go first. In France, a town called Bessières makes a giant Easter omelette every year using 15,000 eggs.
Oh, wow. That might be a lethal dose.
In the UK, the Guinness World Record for the largest decorated Easter egg hunt was set in 2007 with 501,000 eggs.
Goodness. And in 2007, a New Zealand town had to ban their chocolate egg hunt after local possums kept attacking children to steal the eggs. What an image.
Well, thanks for tuning in to our excellent little mini podcast. You are bloody welcome for that one.
Into right at the end.
We've been Lunchbox Envy. You've been great. And we wish you a very happy Easter break. And we'll see you next week for our egg episode out on Monday.
Thanks for listening. Happy Easter.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.